の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩
レフトへレフトへレフトへソラーテソラーテ How you doing, everybody? This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, and guess who we're excited about?
I don't know, man. You missed the whole voice cracking thing there, though. The guy who, the announcement, he was like, sounded like a... Like a 12-year-old boy, like, screaming it out, yeah, or something.
Hey, welcome to H10 with a bit of an unusual beginning. This is T-Ray, and along with me in Kyoto is...
JD, coming at you from the hottest part of Japan right about now.
There you go. It is blistering here in Japan, and I wish that the Tigers were blistering and they were as fiery as their uniforms are right now, but that is not the case. Anyways, today is August the 1st, and this is episode 103. Welcome to the show. Today, we're actually going to be talking about, of course,
Solate!
And also, the gaijin problem that he causes. And we've had other gaijin problem over the years, not like this one. And this one is actually having too many who are producing. And the question is, what are we going to do to create some balance on the team and to keep these five guys happy and productive? Anyways, we'll get to that later. First of all, though, we've got to talk about a fortnight of action. And of course, we're going to choose our players of the month for July and a whole lot more. So stick around. So let's jump right into these rumors and news, and we are going to start with some news that actually by the time you get this is going to be some olds, but Shintaro Fujinami is making his first start of the season tonight at Koshien against the Chunichi Dragons, and I'm hoping that the fans in the stands are a little bit more patient than you, JD. I hope there's no old boys and no hemming and hawing and sighing and yelling when he walks his first batter or hits his first batter or allows his first run against, because all of those are probably going to happen tonight. But, of course, much like yourself, I know that you're a fan of Fujinami's, and so we are looking forward to this and hoping that something good comes from this. Before that, actually, his final start on the farm also took place at Koshien Stadium, because the farm team played up at Koshien as opposed to their usual Naruhama. He went 6 innings, allowed 2 runs, one of them earned, on 6 hits. No walks, no hit batters, and 5 strikeouts. And so good stuff from him of late on the farm. I think he had one pretty bad outing as far as control goes, but he's actually had decent control. Now the question remains, can he keep his control but also keep his fire and remain unhittable? I'm not so sure about that, but time will tell. And as I said, by the time you get this episode in your ears, he will have already pitched, and so hopefully you'll be able to find the results of his outing somewhere out there.
Yeah, I just hope that this isn't just yet another stop on his endless round trip between Koshien and Naruhama. I'm not expecting him to pitch obviously as well as he did on the farm, but if he comes anywhere near to, you know, the 6 innings pitch and 6 hits, you know, 1 earned run, I'll be more than happy. I just want to see the guy succeed a little bit. And I hope it turns out really well. And I will definitely be tuned in and watching very carefully tonight.
Yeah, me too. I also hope that regardless of the results, barring injury, I hope that he gets more than one start.
Keep him there. Keep him there. Even if he has a terrible start, keep him up there. It's like, come on, you know, don't just demote the guy immediately. You know, give him some time to settle in. You know, we need pitching help too right now. So even if it's just a mediocre start, I say keep him on the top squad. Just stop with the endless trips he had down to Naruhama.
If it's a Masahiro Tanaka type of start, then I could say maybe otherwise. Hopefully he won't be allowing 12 runs, especially to a team like the Chunichi Dragons. But anyhow, We're wishing him all the best. And I really think, though, that Yano is a little bit more patient than Kanemoto was. And so certainly, you know, after one start, I don't think he's going to say, that's it, you get the boot.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the other thing, too, is that they haven't rushed him up to the top squad. This is his first start this year, you know. So they've given him, you know, several months down on the farm. And really, I think they're just like, okay, we're going to perfect his new delivery. We're going to make sure that he is ready to go. So, I mean, you know, at this point, you know, if he can't really perform after this year, then you really have to start to wonder that. I think they've given him plenty of time. So we just hope that the time that he's spent down on the farm shows in the results up on the top squad.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, as you said, maybe they're waiting for him to perfect his delivery, and yet I'm sure they're not expecting perfection from him.
No.
Yeah, in this outing. And so, yeah, go get him, Shintaro. We're waiting for you, to have some good results on the top squad. Okay, other news. In the injury and farm bay, we've got Yoshio Itoi missed a few games because he got hit by a pitch. I think that was in Tokyo. He ended up sitting out a whole game and also missing half of game because of it. But he appears to be back. I mean, he celebrated his 38th birthday yesterday and got an RBI single and seemed to be okay. Even in the field, he seems to have a little bit more spring in his jog. So hopefully he can keep that up. Yeah, I'm never going to stop jabbing him for that. Yeah, seriously. Anyways, we need his bat because some of our other guys are not performing so well. Speaking of not performing well, Naomasa Yokawa got farmed on July the 25th, and that was the day after. We'll get to this in the recaps, but he committed a pretty grievous error, it hurt the team. It hurt his standing with the team, and as I said on Twitter, I don't know, man. I kind of feel like the guy might have just put that final nail in his own coffin. He's been called up, and this is, you know, since I have been a fan of the team, since 2014, really since 2015 or 2016 was his first call up. He's been called up probably at least 10 times, and he stuck around somewhat last year for maybe three dozen games or so. Maybe a fourth or a third of the season he stuck around. But other than that, he was drafted in 2013. And so for six seasons now, he has not been able to make an impact. He's 28 years old. He doesn't field particularly well, as we saw. He is not hitting particularly well. He doesn't have very good discernment at the plate. He doesn't have great speed. He doesn't really have a position in the field. You know, like, he's a natural third baseman, but the error he made was in left field. He's also played some first base, not done particularly well there. So I just kind of feel like, man, maybe he's going to get cut this offseason.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, the defensive blunders are big. And you know, I mean, he's batting, what, like 150? I mean, he had that one streak, what was it, last year or the year before, where he was batting really well for a short amount of time, but it just petered out after that. And where do we even need him? You know, I hate to say it, but I just don't see a place for him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that either myself.
Yeah, well, that's a topic definitely for another show, maybe like in September or October, where we talk about which guys, probably September, before the cuts happen, you know, which guys we think might or should be cut, and what's going to happen to, for example, some of our development players, some of them who have been development players for quite a while. And speaking of which, our next bit of news is one of our development players who lost his third digit, and I'm sure he's not looking very hard to find it. That would be catcher Yuya Katayama, who was wearing number 122. And was drafted as a development player last offseason and has since dropped down to two digits. He'll wear number 95 the rest of the way and is hoping to somehow find his way onto the top squad. But at least now he's eligible for top squad games. And congratulations to him for all of his hard work, because it does take work to get from that into onto a regular, you know, onto the 70-man roster. So he is 25 years old, a left-handed hitting catcher. He's got decent power, and he's actually got all right speed for a catcher as well. So I think it's a matter of him getting his defensive skills down, his game calling down, and maybe just a little bit more experience in NPB, even on the farm, before he can get a call up. I kind of doubt it'll happen this year unless the team is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, at which time you never know what's going to happen with the roster. But yeah, wishing him all the best as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's our glut of catchers, though, just adding another member to it. You know, we've got a lot of guys now, so it's going to be interesting to see who develops in which way and what direction the team takes on each of these guys.
Well, I still think that they need to draft at least one more catcher this offseason, because I know I'm jumping ahead of myself episode-wise, but how long are we going to keep Shinji Komiyama you know, on the farm doing absolutely nothing, because the guy is getting up there in age and has not been on the top squad since, what, 2014 maybe? 2013 maybe? So anyhow, again, that's another discussion for another episode. Let's jump into the Fortnite that was in the recaps. So the last time that we left you, the team was in the middle of a three-game set against the Chunichi Dragons, having dropped the first two, and we were hopeful that a game in the countryside against mediocre pitching was going to solve all of life's problems, and unfortunately that did not happen. Well, we lost this one 4-6, and actually we lost it using our pitcher, who was, I think, one out away from bringing his career ERA below 2. That would be Kyuji Fujikawa, who is having just a ridiculously good season. And, I mean, he allowed 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th, which were the difference in this one. So, of course, his career ERA went up to, what, like 2.01 or 2.02 or something. But anyways, the bottom line is he had been used in all 3 games in this series, and so I think maybe fatigue played its part in his giving up runs in this one as well. But, you know, chances, and nothing became of them. 10 hits, 4 runs. Oyama with a home run early in the game. It was a solo shot to give us an early lead. Then Haraguchi got us a couple of runs to give us another lead. And then Oyama, again, padded that lead a little bit in the 5th inning. And then after that, basically, the offense disappeared. So it was kind of a bummer. I think we had one more chance the rest of the way in the 7th with a couple of hits, but the rest of the way we were pretty awful. So we lose, and we get swept by the Dragons, and my face is red with embarrassment, or at least the players' faces should be. So there you have it, and let's move out of the Nagoya area and back home for our series against the Swallows, which we had a rainout in the first game. But tell us what happened the rest of the way, JD.
In game 2, we send Takahashi to the mound, and he's pretty much a de facto ace at this point. He pitched really well again, made it to the 6th without any real big trouble. At that point, we were ahead 1-0, but he gave up a bases-loaded hit that brought 2 runs home, so it was 2-1. We kind of go back and forth after that. In the 8th, though, thanks to Itohara and Oyama, we take the lead 3-2, and then the Swallows come back in the top of the 9th to tie it at 3. But in the bottom of the 9th, Hojo doubles, Yokawa bunts him over to 3rd, and then Egoshi comes in to replace him as a pinch runner. And then Chikamoto hits a walk-off sack fly. So not the most exciting walk-off you could have, but it gets the job done. We win that game. Yeah, who cares? You know, a win's a win. So that was great. We take the first game. And then the next game, even better. Nishi comes in, pitched really well. The only blemishes really were a home run to Ballantyne, which, I mean, you know, that happens now and then. Ballantyne can hit him out. And then a triple in the 6th that came home to score, but just the 2 runs. Chikamoto was big in this one. I believe he ended up being the hero of the game with a 3-run shot in the 5th, which was really all we needed. And then we got 2 more garbage runs in the 8th. Marte had a bases-loaded walk, and then the next batter was Takayama, who got a bases-loaded hit-by-pitch for 2 more runs. But, you know, we didn't really need him. Chikamoto did all the work that needed to be done. Win this one 5-2, so we win the rain-shortened series, which was definitely nice after getting swept by the lowly Dragons. It puts us on a little more of a high note.
Yeah, a couple things about this one, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter perhaps, that Egoshi now has 2 walk-off runs this season, at least, the ones that I can remember. He pinch ran for Toritani in the season opener, if you remember. We were at that one. That was against the Swallows. And then this one as well, he pinch ran in this one as well. So he got a hit in neither of those games. In fact, he has 1 hit on the season and 2 walk-off runs scored. So kind of an interesting random stat for Egoshi. But also during the Hero interview, Chikamoto had said that once they switched for the pinch runner for Hojo, who was on third base, he said, "I felt a little bit more comfortable with it just being a sack fly being good enough to score the run." So other than that, I kind of felt like if Hojo was on third base, I would have had to get a base hit to win us the game. But I was able to relax more. So, you know, just a little jab at Hojo, and I thought that was kind of cool. Like, Chikamoto's pretty relaxed on the Hero podium, and he's getting used to it, and he's up there a lot. He seems to come through when it matters. And again, like you said, in the Sunday game, he was also on the podium for Nishi, who got his first win in forever.
Yeah.
And again, Nishi, I think, got a hit in that game. He kind of set the table for Chigamoto, and so you know, they had a little hug at home plate after the home run, and so they asked, of course, in the Hero interview, how did that feel? And I think he's like, "Kimochi desu," or something like, it felt good to hug Nishi. And it's kind of weird, creepy, but also just kind of funny. So it's cool. But you know, just bringing back some joy to Hanshin fans after a 6-game losing streak, which carried back all the way to before the All-Star break. So that brings us to a 3-game homestand against the DeNA Bay Stars, who are quite red hot, but of course we supposedly own them. Well, that was not the case. This is the Urutora no Natsu, Ultra Summer series. And so on Tuesday, we've got Garcia on the mound, and he looked great until I think it was the 7th inning, where he kind of got taken for 5 runs. 2 of those, of course, because Moria came in and took forever, man, to allow a triple to Yamato. If you're gonna take forever, at least get the guy out, man. Seriously, he was taking over a minute between pitches. Anyhow, so we're down 5-2, but we come back, storm back, and we get it up to 6-5, and then Dolis with another blown save in this one, giving up a run in the 9th inning, and that's all. We tied 6-6. So I was at that one, and it was, I guess it was good to be there. It's kind of interesting because Toritani was the starting shortstop, first in ages for him. And then also Fukudome came back from his time on the farm. So he started in that one as well. And so we had a real old man lineup going. But actually the old guys were the ones that produced. Itoi with an RBI, Toritani with a couple of hits, Fukudome with a couple of hits. So a good game from the veterans. I think Nomi also pitched the 12th inning. So and even QG probably got an inning in there as well. I don't remember, but I think all the old guys came through. So that was the best it got though in this series, because then we went and lost 3-1 at the hands of Hamaguchi, who seems to have our number. So we only got the one run. Aoyagi, the loser in that one. And then we got shut out by Imanaga on Thursday, 6-0. I think we got 4 hits total in that one. And actually, that was the end of Nomi for us, at least for the time being, because he allowed 4 runs in the 9th inning to take a close game and make it a blowout loss. So that was kind of unfortunate. But so speaking of which, one more bit of news and rumors, which I guess was kind of blown in the opener of the show anyways. But Solarte came to Japan, had his press conference on Monday the 22nd. Played in an exhibition game. It wasn't even a farm official game. It was an exhibition game, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday. And then after this series sweep at the hands of the DeNA Bay Stars, joined the team for their 3-game set in Tokyo against the Giants. Mm-hmm. So he made his debut on Friday. And what a debut it was.
Yes, it was. Now, you gotta give, I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but you gotta give the guy credit. I mean, he's probably still jet lagged as he's sitting in Tokyo Dome, you know, to come in, like, on that such a sort of short notice. But yeah, it was, I mean, aside from the third game, which was a blowout loss, it was an overall pretty good series, I thought. I mean, the first game, we went up against Sugano, who actually, it's funny, we've actually played well against him this year. But you always wonder, though, you know, with Sugano, he's obviously, you know, one of the best pitchers in Japanese baseball. So you go into these games a little bit nervous. But we threw our best pitcher up against him. Once again, I'm talking about Haruto Takahashi, who pitched again into the 6th. And again, he got into trouble with the bases loaded. But at that point, Shimamoto came in to bail him out. The score was 2-2 going into the 7th, and that's when Solarte came in and really showed that he can make a massive difference. And he made that massive difference with a massive home run. I mean, it was a little bit toward the foul side, so you sort of wondered at first, but he seemed to know as soon as he hit it. He did a full spin and just watched it go. And I was kind of, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who's like, oh, you know, the batter should run. You know, I don't mind guys admiring their home runs a little bit.
Slow trot, yeah.
Yeah, so he just hit a massive shot to bring the score to 4-2. And that's how it ended. I mean, what can you say? You know, he gets his first Hero interview in his first game as a Tiger after playing, like you said, like one or two games, I think, was the
one,
most.
I think.
Yeah, one game. So, I mean, talk about, you know, coming in to help the Tigers out with some serious fireworks. So we take the first game of that series, again, against Sugano, which is always great. And that gives us a little bit of momentum heading into the next game. So game 2, the next night. We send Nishi to the mound, who goes 5 innings, 93 pitches total. And again, we have a 2-2 game going into the 11th. So we're in extras in this one. And finally, Oyama comes through in the clutch with this little blooper on the 11th, top of the 11th, which Umeno was on third at that point. So that brought the winning run home. And Fujikawa comes in to close it down. He made it very interesting, loaded the bases, but he still, as always, managed to get his job done. So we win this one 3-2.
That's his first save on the year, too, yeah.
Oh, it's his first save. Okay, yeah, that's right, because at this point, Dolis is no longer with us on the top squad to make room for Solarte. So, we've got the series win in our pocket as we go into the third game. And it's a good thing we had the series win already, because the third game was just an absolute nightmare from the very beginning. Iwata starts this one for us. And, you know, I know Iwata has pitched really well this year in a lot of situations, but I've always been worried that he's going to sort of revert to sort of the old Iwata that I know, who gives up a lot of runs at any given moment. And this was one of those games right off the bat. In the first inning, the Giants, slap him around for 7 runs, including a Guerrero grand slam. And then in the third inning, Sumitani hits a 2-run home run. Which at that point Iwata was still in the game, surprisingly. So his line at that point was 3 innings pitched, 78 pitches, 8 hits, 2 home runs, 9 runs, 8 of which were earned. That was his line for the night, because he was pulled after that inning. Giants tack on 2 more against Ida in the 4th, and then later on Sumitani hits another home run, which was a grand slam against Hamachi. That was in the 6th inning. I'm just going to skip ahead and tell you it was a 16-4 loss. Only bright spot on this one was Fukudome hitting getting his 1,000th career run. But really, aside from that, it was just a disaster all around. And not a pretty game at all. But then again, you know, hey, it's a loss is a loss. It doesn't matter whether it's 1-0 or 16-4. So you just brush it off and move forward.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we got outscored like 20-11, I think, on the series. But, you know, if you look at the wins and loss columns, we got 2 and they got 1. So
it's
who cares?
That matters. Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple of things. Solarte's home run and his home run trot was like a home run sprint, which was really cool. I mean, clearly the guy was very excited to have been able to contribute the way that he did. He was so pumped to be able to kind of interact with fans after the home run. A hero interview as well. He was so excited. He was answering questions that weren't being asked. He just looked like a kid on Christmas Day. So it seems like he's really happy. At least for now, he's very happy to be here and very happy with being able to produce in that way. Let me backtrack on what I said. The save for Kyuji on Saturday was not his first, because he also saved Friday's game. So he's got 2 saves on the year. On Saturday, the Giants left 18 guys on base.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that we were very lucky to win that game, because they were pushing the envelope the whole night. I know it was, or a whole day. It was a 11 inning game, but still 18 men on base is pretty crazy. I mean, our worst this year is 16, and I think it was 16. That's pretty bad, but 18 is even worse. And so obviously, you know, like, they could have scored in almost any given inning. Nishi struggled, but somehow managed to hold on when it mattered, and so did the relievers. And so good to take 2 of 3. I was kind of hoping that we could take all 3, and then we could say that every series against the Giants this year has been a sweep for one team or the other. But instead, it's not. And so I think right now we are, we're down 6-10 in that season series, which is pretty ugly. But not as ugly as we're doing against the Dragons. So let's move into that series. And the call at the top of the show came from the Tuesday game, which we took 7-6 on a Solarte walk-off home run, and that was the call on his walk-off home run. So we will probably put a link, or maybe even embed the tweet, which can show you the video of that home run. If you have not seen it yet, you must see it. You must watch it with the sound on, because it was a crazy scene at Koshien. So the game goes as follows. I mean, it was seesaw all the way. 1 for them, 1 for us, 1 for them, 2 for us, 2 for them, 2 for us, 2 for them. And so they're up 6-5 in the bottom of the 9th. And by the way, we have given them most of their runs thanks to the error, and the error for them on the night. One of which, or even another one that didn't count as an error, as Itohara bobbled a ball, I believe, or Solarte or someone, anyways, ended up messing up with Garcia's production because they should have had a double play and instead they got a run. Anyhow, through this game, though, Chikamoto was producing in the top spot, and then Solarte hit a home run in the fifth inning, which gave us a temporary lead, 3-2, and that was actually the team's 8,000th home run ever. So he got that milestone home run, and actually the team's 5,000th home run was also hit by a Gaijin hitter who was not around with the team for very long either, and that was Lance Parrish. Just kind of a bit of interesting trivia there. But yeah, that number one, number two, Chikamoto Solarte has been working really well. I mean, they combined for 8 hits out of the team's 15 on the night. And then even Umeno saw a bit of a resurgence with a couple of hits in the 8 slot. And Itohara as well in the 7th spot got a couple of hits, including a really fun RBI double in which Marte scored all the way from first. He was actually stopped by Fujimoto, the third base coach, said, no, don't go. And he kept going, charged, ended up with a face full of dirt, but he also scored the run. So pretty exciting stuff. But that Solarte home run at the end, man.
Goosebumps, yeah. And it was a dinger off the foul pole too, so it was just barely there. But man, oh man, yeah, that was just an amazing thing to see. Man, yeah, you just love, it doesn't matter who it is, like somebody who comes up when they contribute right away, you know that it just it feels so good for them and it really just adds something special to the team, so it's great to see.
And props to Chikamoto. I mean, I can't say enough about this guy because honestly, like his single before that not only allowed for that to be a walk-off home run, but also, I mean, it gives that pitcher on the mound that extra thing to think about. The fastest player in the league on first base, you know, he's the tying run. So you don't want to allow him to get a good jump. So you got to kind of rush your pitch. When you rush your pitch, you get less on it. When you get less on it, it's easier to hit. And so it all contributed to this walk-off home run. I'm not saying Solarte wouldn't have hit it out of the park anyways, but, you know, that was a big factor, I think. And so let's end our recaps there because who wants to talk about last night's 3-2 loss?
I mean,
nothing really exciting happened anyways. I didn't watch most of it, and we ended up just coming up, you know, short. Aoyagi with the loss again, and so his 7th loss on the season, which just puts him on par with Nishi, who has 7 losses, and Messenger, who has 7 losses. And that's more an indication of the lack of hitting than it is the poor pitching on all three of those guys' parts. So we come to within 1 in the 7th inning, and that's where it ended, 3-2. The end. And so I had predicted that we would go, 7-4 over the fortnight? Not even close. So, yeah, stinks to be us. And, you know, we're heading on the road after tonight's game for a good 3.5 weeks away from Koshien. So we'll see how that goes. But we'll talk predictions a little bit later. Right now, let's talk about our players of the month for July.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month.
So we'll jump first at the hitters because, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit easier to identify a good hitter on the team for the month. But who you got for us as your hitter of the month, JD?
Well, that's funny, actually. I thought I had a harder time picking our hitters out just because I don't think anybody really stands out that much. But I'm just going to go ahead and kind of buck the trends. I'm going to say Solarte just because I know he's only been here for a little while. And so it's kind of silly to maybe say that he's the hitter of the month. But I mean, just the way that he's come in and just been a huge shot in the arm for the team. I know he had some defensive issues, but he made up for it with his home runs. I mean, 5 games, he's hit 3 home runs already. Just added so much excitement to a team that honestly has been painful to watch for a little while. Just not in that they were bad, but just that they were mediocre and there was no real excitement for such a long time. And now it's like, I feel like with him in there, there's this sort of X factor. It's this sort of wild card that you might get something really exciting out of the game now. So I'm just going to go ahead and say Solarte has been a huge boon for the team. And so he's going to be my hitter of the month for that reason.
Okay, so here's the thing about that, man. First of all, he tied for the team lead for most home runs in July with 3. because nobody else hit more than three. Marte also hit three.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, in his five games, he managed that. But not only that, but dude, let's call a spade a spade. You know, the team was trying to pump itself up, and you know, like they do the old fist pump every time they get a single. But wasn't it getting a little bit tiresome of seeing
these guys hitting
their piddly singles, and then they're fist pumping to the bench and stuff, and it's just like, man, you hit a single to right field.
It's not even just that, though. It's like none of them even really seem that into it anymore either. They're just like, they get a single, it's just like, oh yeah, do the fist pump. It's like, no, guys, if you're going to fist pump a single, like, do it properly. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but just, like, do it properly and get each other pumped up. Like, yeah, you know, I hit a single. Like, that's fine with me, but just put some oomph into it, you know?
And so, you know, now there's legit reason to actually fist pump and get excited. And, I mean, we saw this when Solarte hits home runs. You know, he and Marte are both going and high-fiving the rest of the bench, even if Marte had nothing to do with it, and vice versa. When Marte hit a home run, Solarte was there giving high-fives to the bench, and so there's excitement, man. Like, you know, I love Solarte's trot around the bases and how he jumps up and claps his hands and, you know, looks heavenward, but, you know, just that excitement that he brings, and then, you know, he's high-fiving Marte, and the whole team is genuinely, like, really excited. You know, when he hits the home runs or when good things happen. And so, you know, that's definitely a shot in the arm. And so I can respect your decision, but I'm also going to go elsewhere. And I'm going to go with Koji Chikamoto, who really turned things around in July. His June was atrocious. He hit 179 for that month. July, he hit 295. So he brought it up by 100 points. Scored 17 runs for the team. And of course, his weakness now would be that he is unable to take the walk. 15 strikeouts on just 2 walks. The month before was 24 strikeouts on 3 walks. And so he's really kind of stopped looking at pitches because his walk rate was a little bit better earlier in the season. But just the fact that he's back up there, you know, collecting 26 hits on the month. And that is in a, you know, I guess a little bit of a shortened month as far as games played. There were only 22. But he's now actually on pace to break the CL record for hits by a rookie in a single season. And that was set way back by Shigeo Nagashima. And so if he's able to break that, that would be pretty exciting. But even if he just breaks the club record, which was set by Takayama 3 years ago, that would be something special as well. And I just think that having him back to hitting near 300 is much needed, and good job for him for making whatever adjustments he needed to make.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's my guy. And then with pitcher, I actually had a hard time choosing one here, and I think you did as well. But who you got for us here, JD?
I did dual pitchers here. I know I'm kind of going against the rules and everything, but I'm going to say Takahashi and Shimamoto combined. Takahashi, once again, 3 starts, 20 innings for a 1.77 ERA. I mean, he's getting it done and getting it done well. I mean, this is some of the games where he's going 6 innings, he starts getting trouble in the 6th. I'd like to see him go 7 at least. But, I mean, you really can't complain with that. I think he's just turning into the kind of guy that we can really rely upon. Striking guys out pretty well, too. I think he had 9 strikeouts through 5 innings in his most recent start, or it might have been one before that. I think he's really just settling into being, you know, pretty much our best starter at this point. And then Shimamoto for July was
fire.
He was totally on fire. He only gave up 2 runs on the month, but they weren't even his responsibility. So they weren't they didn't count against him. That was in the game against the Dragons on the 30th. His line for July had him with 10 appearances for 8 total innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts for a 0.00 ERA. I didn't give up a single run. So, I mean, as far as middle relief goes, it just doesn't get much better than that. So I think the two of those guys are pretty much on the ball in terms of the pitchers for the month for me.
Well, it may or may not get better than that, but I'm going to actually choose somebody outside of those two, even though I agree with your picks, and that is another middle reliever who I also think you can't get any better than, and that would be PJ. Pierce Johnson, he did suffer 2 losses on the month, and he had a 1.69 ERA. He allowed 5 runs, but only 2 were on his tab. The other 3 were unearned runs. So thanks a lot, defense, again. But he actually went 10 2/3 innings, and this is after he took much of June off, and struck out 21 of the 44 batters he faced.
Yep.
Yeah, nearly half of them he struck out. He was averaging practically in every inning that he pitched, he was striking out 2 guys. 17.72 strikeouts per 9. So obviously, you know, when you strike guys out, they're not getting on base and they can't score. And so his 11 mounds for almost 11 innings is also an encouraging sign that he has come back as strong as he has. And as you know, he just looks invincible out there. and unflappable too. Like, even if he allows the occasional hit, he's just like, yeah, okay, let's get the next guy. And you know, especially now with Dolis down on the farm, I mean, we need his arm late in these games. And I think we saw in one of the games against the Bay Stars, I think in the tie game, he came up not in the eighth but in the seventh, and the reason was because the heart of the lineup was coming up and he mowed down their three stud hitters. And so PJ's my guy.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yep, I can agree with that too.
Well, we go from the good choosing the great hitters to picking on the bad manager. Not that he's really that bad, but you know.
Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano! Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano!
I'll go first on this one. Mine actually comes from last night's game. It was the seventh inning, and I think we had a runner on second and a chance to tie the game up. Morio was the pitcher, and they brought in Takashi Toritani. And I know that Toritani is a little bit on an upward swing here, maybe, but his swing certainly isn't upward. I mean, he's grounding out nonstop. But he came in and watched six pitches and struck out. So it was ball, 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 strike, 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 and he sat down and basically blew a chance. Keep in mind, this is a guy now that is 0 for 30 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
0 for 30. Zero hits, zero RBIs on the year. Okay? So, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, it was a lefty on the mound. And if I'm also not mistaken, we still had guys like Haraguchi and Hojo at our disposal. And I've seen that several times this month. So it's not just Toritani. I'm not picking on Toritani himself. I'm picking on Yano for his choices of pinch hitters, where I've just felt a real, like, kind of, like, I've just had to shrug my shoulders and go, okay, man, if that's who you think is going to do it. And then they don't. And actually, on the month of July, we had zero hits with the bases loaded. That's another side point, but that could also come down to choosing the wrong pinch hitter. But yeah, just his choices with pinch hitters. And last night was the culmination of that. So how about you?
Well, for me, it's more of an overarching thing. And I'm going to preface this by saying that I understand he's kind of in a bad position because there aren't a lot of options for him. But at this point, I am just tired of seeing Oyama in the number four spot, I have to say it. I just don't feel like he has the sort of the mental makeup maybe to be the sort of number four hitter. I know he's had a couple of clutch hits here and there. You know, his batting average isn't terrible. Obviously, he's batting like 270, 260, somewhere around there right now. But it seems that when he comes up in those big spots where you really need like a power cleanup hitter, he just doesn't come through. And again, like I said, I understand there's not a lot of choices because we don't have a lot of guys who are those sort of power cleanup hitter types who could slot in there. But I think at this point, we're in August now, and Oyama has just not shown that he's really the sort of number four guy. And I just wonder how much longer this can continue. I think what I'd like to say is if Solarte shows any sort of consistency in hitting for power or average or anything, it's time to slot him in there and move Oyama somewhere else, because I just don't think he's number four material at this point.
Just do something different, man, is what it is, right, with Yano. Like, don't be so stubborn. Like, yeah, okay, my take on that too is maybe he is, maybe he isn't number four material, but take him out of that spot for at least one or two games just so he can see it from a different vantage point. You know, he's been sitting there for every game. There's only one other team in NPB that has kept their number four hitter the same from the start of the season, and that would be the Cebu Lions, who have someone a little bit better than Oyama,
just
I think.
A little.
Yeah, somebody named Yamakawa, who I think might have, you know, almost triple the number of home runs as our guy does. So, yeah, I really think they need to do something there as well. However, that having been said, I think we also have to give Oyama a little bit of a break because he's still third year. He's still 24 years old. And, you know, when you look around at the rest of the roster, who else is there?
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying with Solarte, but I also like him in the number two spot. Like, I don't want to break up that 1-2 right now of Chikamoto and Solarte. And then Marte could be the guy, though, instead. You know, if you want to pull Oyama out of there and put him somewhere else. I mean, maybe you go Marte 4, Fukudome 5, and Oyama 6 or something like that. And that gives us a little bit more beef down at the bottom of the order as well, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, not that, you know, Marte down there is not beef, but still, you know, it's just a little bit of a different look. And, you know, Yano's been pretty flexible about other things, but there's certain things like that he's just been very stubborn about and saying, no, I'm sticking with Aoyama from start to finish. And I think maybe it's just to be able to say that at the end of the year, look, he did it for 143 games.
Yeah. And so, like I said, you know, I understand, like, exactly like you said, there aren't a lot of other options for us there. So that's why I prefaced it with my sort of disclaimer, but it's just getting hard to watch, you know, and it's time to switch things up and maybe see if someone else responds a little bit better there. And Aoyama responds better somewhere else, I think. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News.
Hot topics. All right. Well, that does it for July. And let's look ahead now at August and especially look at how we are going to play the rest of the season out, because we've got some real issues with Solarte. Now, the issues are this. Of course, as you know, we have got an import rule here in NPB. Every NPB team has a 70-man roster, and that includes the top squad and the farm. The top squad rule is you can only have 4 imports up there at a time. You can have as many as you want down on the farm, but only 4 are allowed to play in any given game. The rule that further complicates this is you can't load yourself up with 4 pitchers or 4 hitters, 4 fielders. You either have to go with 3-1, 3-1 and 1 of the other, or 2 of each. So with Hanshin, in recent years, actually from 2016, about, you know, May 2016 and onwards, we have had 3 pitchers and 1 hitter, pretty much nonstop. And most of those hitters have not functioned very well as the lone gaijin. I think probably the best one of the bunch would be Jason Rogers from 2016 until now, and maybe Jeffrey Marte. But we decided we needed some more firepower in the lineup. We brought up Solarte. So now it's Solarte and Marte. What that means then is that we have 3 pitchers, 3 import pitchers, one of whom has to take the fall for the team and go down to the farm. So we've got Onelki Garcia, who is in the starting rotation, and then 2 relievers in Pierce Johnson and Rafael Dolis. And the question was who to drop, and they chose Dolis. And maybe part of the reason is he blew a couple of saves just before Solarte came, and maybe it was time to give him some rest and some, you know, a bit of a refresher. And the other thing is, not that, you know, we have an abundance of guys who can close out games, but we do have a certain experienced guy named Kyuji Fujikawa who's done it for most of his career. So they decided to plug Kyuji into the 9th and give Dolis some rest, because Pierce Johnson is indispensable as a reliever as well. And right now we don't have a 6th starter that can definitely be counted on once a week to throw 6-7 innings. So there you have it. Right now, we have got, as I said, Jeffrey Marte playing first base, Yanhervis Solarte playing either second or short or left field, and then we've got Pierce Johnson in the bullpen and Onelki Garcia in the rotation. So my question for you, first of all, is let's start with our man Solarte. What are your impressions of him as far as him being a hitter, as far as his defense, and as far as his presence on the bench? We've already talked about some of this stuff, so we don't have to rehash that we love his energy, but what else do you like or dislike about him?
Well, yeah, I mean, the errors that he had in the game were obviously not pleasant. I mean, I feel like with the Tigers, it's like the curse of the shortstop. It doesn't matter who's in there, they're going to give up some pretty serious errors here. But I mean, aside from that, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you can't complain about anything with this guy. I mean, he's really gotten it done, you know, at the plate, made up for those errors, you know, in the game that he committed them in. I will say that his splits, I know it's a tiny sample size, but his left and right splits are pretty funny at this point. He's batting 556 from the right side of the plate and 0.077 from the left. So it's going to be interesting to see how those sort of even out, and if they do even out a little bit more. You know, defense-wise, it seems like they're going to move him over to second. I believe he played second last night, and it looks like Itohara might be at short for a little while. The presence alone is just a huge boost for the team. So at this point, there's really not that many downsides to see. Again, it's a tiny sample size, so we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But I love the pickup right now. I can't complain about it at all.
Yeah, I'm going to say in his defense of those errors, how much practice time did he get out on the Koshien dirt field?
Zero.
right?
Zero.
And this is a guy that is being asked to play the most demanding defensive position on the on this dirt infield, having never played on a dirt infield possibly in his career.
Having never played in Japan either. I mean, just getting here a week ago. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and so I'm going to give him a mulligan on that game especially. It'd be like throwing a tennis player into the French Open after he's never played on that kind of surface before.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, if you've played on grass your whole life and all of a sudden you have to play on clay or on dirt, you're not going to perform well. Balls are going to, you know, you're going to be taken off, you know, caught off guard or taken by surprise by how it bounces or how fast it gets to you or whatever. So, I haven't given up on him as a shortstop, but maybe he is better suited as a second baseman, and I'm okay with that. So as far as his defense goes, I mean, it seems like he's got pretty decent range, and hopefully he'll be able to get better just as time goes by and as he gets more experience and practice at Koshien. Speaking of which, of course, he's got one more game at Koshien tonight, and then he'll be away from Koshien for almost a whole month. So honestly, I think it might take him till the end of the year to really get accustomed to his home stadium now.
Yeah, well, and the other good thing, too, is that since he can play left, you know, when Fukudome needs his days off, you can switch him over there and still keep him in the lineup, which does mean you have to have someone else in there at shortstop who might give up some errors, you know, Hojo or Toritani or something. But, you know, that kind of flexibility is huge for the Tigers, I think. So that's a big plus, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if I'm not mistaken, sorry, speaking of other things that you mentioned, as far as the left-righty thing goes, yeah, against right-handed pitchers, as a left-handed hitter, he's got 56 home runs, and against left-handed pitchers, against right-handed, as a right-handed hitter, he's got 19 home runs. Obviously, his plate appearances also vary, but it's about a 2.5 ratio, and his home runs are about a 3-to-1 ratio, so he is, at least by this, a little bit better from the left side. His average is a little bit better. His slugging percentage is a little bit better. So I think it might just be a matter of time before he starts to produce from the left-hand side of the plate as well.
Yep.
So I know I heard a couple of people say right away, I mean, you know, Japanese fans jump to conclusions so quickly. No, he's useless as a shortstop. Oh, he's useless as a left-handed hitter. Like, no, you've watched him in one game, and he's probably played over 1,000 games at shortstop, if you include his childhood and everything. He's probably played over 1,000 games as a left-handed hitter. So don't you get on your high horse and say that, oh, I know because I watched him in one game. You know, give him some time. So I think it's a matter of time before he starts to produce there. And, well, we'll see how he does as shortstop or second base or whatever. I mean, if he slots in well at second, keep him there, man, because either way, you know, I think that Itohara is a more reliable shortstop than anybody else we've put there this year. Maybe not by range, but certainly by fielding the ball and then by getting the ball to first base accurately. And I think, you know, giving Marte a little bit of a break and saying, hey, you know, at least 90% of the balls coming your way are going to be on target as opposed to, what, 70? Haha. You know, so I'll give him that. Okay. So as far as then, what do you think about the Tigers using two import fielders? Do you think that there will be, there might be, or there should be a time that they go back to 1-3? Or do you even think, let's not forget about our buddy Efren Navarro, who's down on the farm. Do you see any scenario in which he gets a call up?
Well, it's going to depend on performance, I think. You know, if Marte keeps doing what he's doing at this point and Solarte obviously performs well, you've got to keep the two fielders there because look at our batting. It's terrible. You know, we're not scoring any runs. We need people who can score runs. We need people who can hit some home runs. So, I mean, again, like it's hard to say because I can't see into the future, but I say we've got to keep the two fielders now. Unless, you know, if something seriously happens to Fujikawa, you know, if like Fujikawa gets injured or something and we absolutely need a closer, I mean, then there's going to be some tough decisions to make. But at this point, you know, with Randy out of the rotation too, I think we do need Garcia in there. And obviously Johnson is a lock. Now, I mean, I guess the only thing I could think would be Fujinami coming in and completely dominating to the point where we can send Garcia down if he doesn't perform really well, you know, if he starts giving up 6-7 runs a game, as he did earlier in the season, in which case then you might bring Dolis back up. I don't know, but I think at this point, and if things stay the way they're going right now, you got to keep both fielders in there.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that, and I would even go so far as to say that, you know, Solarte is eventually going to slump. You know, the other team's scouts are really good at finding holes in these batters, and they've done it to every import that we've brought in, and, well, they do it to every hitter for that matter. So it's just a matter of time before he does hit a slump of sorts. You know, he's not going to continue on this 3 home runs every 5 games pace by any means, but they need to let him ride it out. You know, I hope that they're not too hasty in dropping him, or even if, you know, people have said if Marte slumps, well, Marte has been extremely reliable other than his first month in which he was kind of mediocre, but he's been really reliable through June and July. So I would say you even have to let him ride out any slump that he might hit as well. So I want to see them keep the 2-2, even if it means having one of them riding the bench just to give him a day off or whatever. That's fine. But I think they need to keep them both up there. I don't see Navarro ever coming back to the top squad, sad to say, or even coming back to the Tigers in 2020. Speaking of which, what do you think then? What do you think the team needs to do in 2020? Of these 5 guys that are producing, let's be honest here. We can't keep all 5. I mean, none of them is going to be happy with being told, like, yeah, we want to keep you, but you may end up being the guy that ends up most of the season on the farm. You know, because they're all capable of being top squad contributors somewhere. So who would you say is the most expendable for 2020, or what do you foresee as far as that goes?
Man, it's hard. I mean, in terms of who I think, I don't know, it's hard to say, but I have a feeling, man, it really depends on performance. You know, I think if Marte stays just mediocre, I think he's gone. You know, I think that, which is kind of unfair, you know, because I think that what the team is looking for is some guy who's going to hit a massive amount of home runs. And Marte was never that kind of guy, you know, if you looked at his stats. But I think that that's going to sort of override the decision making that the front office is going to make. And I think Marte might be the odd man out, you know, again, assuming that Solarte performs above average, I think. And I think, I don't know, I wonder if Dolis might be sort of the odd man out too. You know, I wonder how much longer, although he's been phenomenal this year. So, I mean, I don't really know, but the team seems to have a very short leash with a lot of these guys. So I wonder if he might be on the way out, you know, at the end of the season. I don't really know at this point. I think it's really going to depend on how things play out over the next 2 months and where the team ends up at the end of the season.
Yeah, obviously that's going to play in to a degree as well, yeah. I don't think that Marte is going to get released, truth be told. I mean, I think that he has done enough to keep himself relevant through 2020. Not that this is necessarily like, we can't always go by precedence, but I mean, if they kept Navarro over for another season, you know, like Navarro 2018 is inferior in every way to Marte 2019. So if they were happy enough keeping Navarro, I think they should. I think that Marte has actually been good enough to keep around, even to be the starter. You know, they might bring somebody else in and have that person compete for first base time or something like that. Like, they might do that, but I don't think that they will drop Marte outright. I really think, honestly, Dolis might be on his way out, and this is just speculation on my part. I think that the team wants to raise up a Japanese closer. I think that, you know, like with QG being the closer now and with him having been the closer before, and just looking at how some of these other teams have got a solid Japanese closer like Yamasaki in Yokohama and things like that, I think that the trend is kind of going away from having an import closer. And I could see them releasing Dolis, not because he's not good enough, but just because there's no space for him. Yeah. And you know where I could see him going? I could see him going to SoftBank.
Oh, okay.
Because Dennis Sarfate has been injured for 2 seasons. I don't know if and when he's coming back. He's also going to be 39 next year. And I know he's still under contract, but I think that they could probably use somebody like Dolis. I don't know. I mean, that's just like an outside shot thing that I'm thinking about. Or maybe even like a team like the Lions, because they really need a lot of help in their bullpen big time. So I could see him going to a PL team. I don't know if he would succeed as much there, but I could see the Tigers possibly releasing him. But in the meantime, final question for you. Do you think, I don't think that we have seen the last of Dolis for this season. I really think that he still belongs on the team, and I think he can still contribute. Do you see a way for us to use him and keep all 5 of these guys kind of in the rotation or being used properly and keeping them happy at least for the rest of 2019?
Oh man, I mean, again, it depends on so many things. I mean, obviously if somebody gets injured, then right away you can switch things up. I think, man, I don't know. I think that, you know, again, the priority right now is hitting. And if we can get, if Marte and Solarte can produce at the plate really well, then there's going to be really limited chances to switch it up, I think. So I think this is what we see now is going to be what we see for the foreseeable future. But again, you know, it depends on so many things. It's really hard for me to answer.
Okay, fair enough. Well, this is what I see happening as a possibility and maybe something that the team can, you know, take me up on if they want my advice, my unsolicited advice. But, you know, it has been said, and there is some truth to the fact that Garcia is a better pitcher on certain mounds than others, right? He works well on hard mounds. He tends to work better in domes than elsewhere. And so this is what I could see happening. It's too late to deactivate him for these next six games or seven games, which are outdoors. And so he'll probably get a start either at Zoom Zoom or at Jingu. I guess he's set for Tuesday, so he would be at Jingu next week, Tuesday, possibly, right? And then we've got some dome games. We've actually got 12 straight in domes, right? Kyocera, Nagoya, Tokyo, Kyocera. So I could see them keeping Garcia in the rotation through those dome games and then maybe giving him some rest for the rest of August. Deactivating him, say he pitches Tuesday the 20th, deactivate him until the end of August and bring Dolis up for 10 games there, or 10 days, whatever, right? To give Garcia just some time off and to actually be able to use Dolis again. And then maybe pull Garcia back up again for the start of September or maybe the middle of September. We've got some more dome games in Nagoya and Tokyo in the middle of September. So keep him in maybe until those games and then maybe deactivate him again at the end of the year. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a way to play this smart. Yeah. I don't know the nature of every mound in NPB or in the CL, but if you rotate him in and get him on mounds where he's more comfortable pitching, I say why not do that? And that would come into play, especially if guys like Fujinami come around or if Akiyama can, you know, get back on his horse, or even if Iwasada comes back and is able to pitch reasonably well at some point this season. Not to mention that they're trying to make Ono a starter again as well. So we do have options. And then, you know, Randy might be coming back in September as well. So there are multiple options for the rotation. And so I could see them maybe just pulling Garcia, not farming him for bad performance or for, you know, for good, but at least just getting him off the roster for those times where they're playing on mounds where he's less comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
So, and I think that might work. So Yano-san, again, if you're looking for an advisor who knows nothing about baseball, I'm your guy. All right. And then, you know, we'll have a segment on the show after that and we'll call it, we'll have some clever T-Rage jingle for how he's made some terrible decisions as advisor. Anyhow, so here we go. We've actually got a long month of August ahead of us. And so let's actually look at the entire schedule for the month of August and make some quick predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen? What's the
so, the rundown is this. As I said, tonight we have Fujinami on the mound at Koshien, and then we say goodbye to Koshien until August the 27th. Three in Hiroshima. Three in Tokyo against the Swallows, three at Kyocera back against the Carp, three in Nagoya against the Dragons, three in Tokyo against the Giants, three at Kyocera again against the Bay Stars, and then three in Tokyo against the Swallows, and then we're back at home at Koshien for three against the Dragons and two against the Giants. So, what are your predictions for the month of August, my man?
Oh man, I'm not gonna go game by game here. I think the Carp are hot lately. I mean, they had that terrible streak at the beginning of July, but then they reeled off a bunch of wins in a row toward the end. And they usually give us fits, so I think we're not going to perform too well against them. I think the Swallows are really the only team that I'm confident we can beat up on a little bit. Dragons are giving us trouble lately, you know. The Giants are the Giants, you know, so I think, you know, we're always lucky if we get to come away with a series win there. And DNA too, you know, the Bay Stars pitching has really come together, and we're not going to be in Yokohama for the series against them. So I'm not very optimistic, man. I'm just going to say that I think we'll be lucky if we go 500 throughout August. And This might be the month that really puts us firmly in the B class, and I'm worried that that's going to be what happens.
27 games on the month, and I'm going to actually just give a straight number and hope that I'm wrong, but I'm going to say we go 12-15, and I think even that might be being a little bit optimistic. But again, I think it's going to depend on the issue that we talked about earlier. How do we use these imports? Because if we can find a way to get the most out of the five guys, I think that can work to our advantage. But again, we are also spending the month without Randy Messenger, probably. I don't think he's going to be back before September. Speaking of which, that's another bit of news that we didn't mention at the top of the show, but he has gone back to America for treatment on his shoulder. And, we'll see how that plays out. But that's never really a good sign, especially for a guy that's been such a workhorse for so long. I don't know. So there you have it. That is our predictions for this episode. I want to thank you guys for listening to H10 as you always do and for being awesome supporters of what we do. This is our one and only podcast for the month of August. H10 is planning to take most of August off just to see if I can spend some time away from baseball and away from, blogging and reporting and stuff and have some good quality family time this summer. I'm also taking down the Patreon account, and so I thank my patrons for their support, but there's no longer any chance for y'all to support that. But do keep in touch, and we will be back in September. So, JD, any final comments about the month of August or about anything else you want to talk about before we close things off for the month?
Yeah, here comes the road of death, it's always something that we have to face each year. I'm just going to strap myself in. I probably will go to one of the Kyocera Dome games because it's just too hot to go to any of the other games. So I think I'll go and catch one there, but, just buckle yourself in, and hope that the batters can come around and, do their job. And Solarte continues to produce and sort of be that shot in the arm that they needed him for. Hope that our pitchers can settle in. And really, again, the main thing for me now is really just Fujinami tonight. That's the thing that I'm sort of watching with bated breath here and hoping that he can come in and be strong, because that could be a pretty big factor. If he comes back strong and pitches really well through August, then we might actually do a lot better than I predicted here. So we'll see.
Sure. Let's go Tigers. So thank you again for your support, and enjoy a month without H10 and without my voice in your ears. We will see you again in September when let's see us Tigers be up in the top three at that point. All right. We'll see you later, everybody.
Enjoy the rest of your summer, folks.